The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
We welcome you to the Grace Evangelical Society's podcast broadcast ministry, Grace in Focus. Today, we will be looking at Acts 13, verse 48. And the question is about the word appointed or ordained to eternal life. How does free grace theology explain this? Stay tuned. Bob Wilkin and Philippe Sterling will be along in just a moment to answer that question, right after I tell you about our website, faithalone.org. We have lots of ministry resources there that we want you to know about. Hundreds of articles about free grace theology issues, blogs, videos, books, and don't miss our magazine called Grace in Focus, a full-color magazine published 6 times a year. Find out about it all on our website, faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. Now here are Bob and Philippe with today's question and answer.
Philippe came in the other day and picked up a whole bunch of questions that you all sent in, and he took them home and he studied them and he's brought them back, and so we're raring to go, and you got one for us, don't you?
Sure. So this is from Al, okay. And he has a question concerning Acts chapter 13, verse 48. Let me read it.
Okay.
When the Gentiles heard this, they began rejoicing, glorifying the word of the Lord, and as many as had been appointed to eternal life believed. Al's question is, those who were ordained to eternal life believed, how would free grace explain this? Is this a Calvinist verse?
Okay, bring that out a little bit more. How would a Calvinist explain Acts 13:48?
A Calvinist who said that God, even before the foundation of the world, predetermined who would believe and who would not believe. And only those that God predetermined to believe actually believe. And so that this verse, it will say support this. Only those that God had appointed, predetermined, had chosen to believe, believe.
So in this view, God predetermined that a significant chunk of humanity is going to spend eternity in the lake of fire.
Yes.
No matter what they do.
Yes.
They have no chance.
Yes.
They have no opportunity. They can't believe. It's impossible for them.
In that view, it will be only those that God enabled to believe, believe.
Or gave the gift of faith.
It's all a gift from beginning to end, including the gift of faith, of believing.
Okay, so what percentage of humanity, surely Calvinists must say that 99% of people are elect, right? God chose the vast majority, almost everybody on the planet is chosen, right?
We don't know until the final judgment.
That's and what the, Calvinists then that's, say, right?
Yes, until the final judgment, we really don't know ultimately who had been appointed to believe and who had not.
But now, funny, when we were back at Dallas Seminary, I remember the way it was explained to me. Imagine a beach ball made of clay. So a big ball of clay the size of a beach ball. Imagine breaking off a golf ball-sized piece of clay. They said the golf ball-sized piece of clay is the elect. The beach ball is the non-elect.
Wow.
But you know, Jesus did say in Matthew 7:13-14 that we're to enter by the narrow way.
Right, so broad is the way, but narrow.
And he says, few find the narrow way. So most people, when they look at that verse, they say that the percentage of humanity that is going to find the narrow way is well less than 50%. Now, there's no percentage given there, right? So we don't know exactly. But even if you held the view that the Calvinist holds, that we don't know, still, wouldn't you say this is pretty fatalistic?
Yes. Well, that's what it falls back to. If you adopt this view that it's God who's determined it, and there's only a small number ultimately that he has determined and has passed over the rest. But now let's come back.
I got French for you. Que sera, sera. How do you say it? What does that mean?
What will be, will be. What has been determined will be.
Do you know the story about the Calvinist that fell down a flight of stairs? When he got to the bottom, he said, thank God that's over. Because Calvinists believe that whatever will be. And we really have no control over anything in our lives. Not just our eternal destiny, but I have no control over whether I'm getting in a car accident or who I marry or what house I buy, because ultimately God's predetermined everything, right?
Yes. I mean, if we follow it to its complete logical end, it is fatalistic.
I had a guy at DTS, a DTS student, I heard him talking to somebody else, and he said God predetermined his sins. God decided what sins he was going to commit, and God caused him to sin, allowed him to sin, however he explained it, but only a limited number, but God did that. And I even debated a DTS prof, and he said that, I said, why do you sin at all? If God's aim then is, guarantee is that all believers will live holy lives and persevere until death, why would we sin at all? Wouldn't it, I'd rather be sinless. Why not glorify God perfectly? And he said, well, you know, it's like if God lets go of our life for a moment, we veer off path. And then when he grabs hold again and gets us back on path, we're so thankful. And it reminds us to be dependent. Well, why do I need to be reminded to be dependent if I'm sinless? Why not just make me sinless? So anyway, I know we've kind of got, I'm sorry, I've gotten far afield, but come back to Acts 13:48.
Yeah, so how can we understand this verse?
Yes.
And of course, as always, we always need to go back to context,
right,
as well, and then also to the particular definition and even field of meaning of a word,
right?
You know, too. So let's address it both ways.
Okay.
You know, the meaning of that word that's okay. Here in the New American Standard translated appointed.
Same thing in the New King James. Appointed.
Too. So we need to try to see what the field of meaning or the most use meaning, you know,
yes,
for this word, and then how it fits with the overall context of the passage.
All right.
So that's, first of all, the meaning of the word itself.
Right.
You know, it's a word that's often used in a military context.
A tasso.
Tasso of a person who's arranged under a particular authority. So, for example, the centurion says, I am a man under authority.
Right.
I am a man that's arranged under, you know, the system of authority. So, if tasso can have the meaning of simply one that has arranged himself under, predisposed himself to a certain arrangement, certain response. So, as many had arranged themselves or predisposed themselves to believed.
Right.
So we may say that they were predisposed by the drawing of the Holy Spirit. You know, they were, as they were receiving more light, they were responding, and ultimately, given the truth of the promise of everlasting life, they believed that.
Right.
They were persuaded of its truth.
And if you hold that view, then it contradicts the idea that we have no opportunity to respond to God. It's the exact opposite.
Right. Well, the Holy Spirit is at work to draw all people to Christ. And those who are responding to that, or predisposing themselves to be open to that, come to believe or persuade. But there are some that will resist and reject that. And that brings us to the context then, because verse 48 is preceded by verse 46.
Amen. See, this is what you learn when you go to seminary, right? We get these key insights, like verse 46 is before verse 38. Yeah. So what does 46 say?
So verse 46 says, Paul and Barnabas spoke out boldly, and this is in Pisidian Antioch, the synagogue, and they're speaking here to Jewish people.
With some Gentiles
present.
Gentiles.
In fact, the Gentiles show up in mass once they hear, begin to hear the message of grace.
Right.
They show up in mass, and that provokes jealousy there. But Paul and Barnabas spoke out boldly and said, it was necessary that the word of God be spoken to you first. But since you repudiate it and judge yourself unworthy of eternal life, behold, we are turning to the Gentiles. So here, Paul and Barnabas are speaking the word of life to them, and they are resisting it, rejecting it. So Paul and Barnabas says, well, now we're going to turn to the Gentiles then, who are welcoming this. And as many of the Gentiles who were predisposed to doing so believed.
Yeah, and by the way, verse 46 also contradicts Calvinism, because it says they're resisting, and according to Calvinism, you can't resist.
Yeah, irresistible grace, but here they're resisting.
Right, yes. And on top of all this, he doesn't say God judged you unworthy. Mm-hmm. You judged yourselves unworthy.
Yes. So we're dealing with people who are resisting and people that are receiving. And that's all that verse 48 says, as many as are responding and believing. They position themselves to be receptive to the message.
Yeah, and I think, Philippe, it's important to point out there are certain words that are used for choosing or election in the New Testament, and this isn't one of them.
Yes.
Right? There are words like eklegomai and eklektos for elect and other words that refer to someone being chosen or elected. But choosing an election in the New Testament or in the Old Testament is always to service. It's never to eternal destiny. And this is not, it doesn't say as many as were elect to eternal life. That expression, elect to eternal life, never occurs anywhere in the Bible.
Yes. So just saying as many as were open to it.
Right. I like the open, predisposed, whatever.
Yes.
The point is, think of Acts 10. In Acts 10, Cornelius is a centurion. He's a God-fearing man who worships in the synagogue, but he's a Gentile. But we're told that his prayers and his alms ascended to God as a pleasing aroma. And God sends an angel to him and says, send for Simon Peter. He's going to tell you how to be saved. And Peter comes, and Cornelius' household are saved. That, too, is contrary to Calvinism, but it's perfectly consistent with Acts 13:48. Because he was one of those people who was open.
Yes, they were functioning as a light to the nations, and he was responding. So God then brought further light until he heard the message of life.
Amen. Well, thank you, Philippe. And Al, thanks for a great question. And until we meet again,
keep grace in focus.
Bob Wilkins' book, Turn and Live, The Power of Repentance, is available right now at 50% discount to Grace and Focus listeners at faithalone.org. Get half price through May 30th, 2023, when you use the discount code word REPENT. That's at faithalone.org. Would you like to deepen your understanding of Scripture and the Christian life? Well, a great place to start is our website. It's faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. We've got all kinds of free materials on the site available for you. One of those, which is extremely popular, is our magazine, Grace in Focus. It comes out 6 times a year. It's full color, easy to read, and people are really growing who read it. So stop by and get a free subscription at faithalone.org. We would like to thank all of our financial partners who help us keep this show going. All gifts are tax deductible and very much appreciated. If you'd like to find out how you can be a financial partner, visit us at faithalone.org. We are so happy when we hear from listeners. Maybe you've got a question or comment or feedback. If so, please send us a message. Here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. And on the next episode of Grace in Focus, can Christians be Democrats? Can Democrats be saved? I think, of course, the answer is yes, but come back again next time and we'll talk about it a little bit more. See you then. This is the Grace Evangelical Society reminding you to always keep grace in focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.